Today's passage is out of Luke chapter 24. Hear the reading of God's word. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember, he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day, raised again." Then they remembered his words. Amen and amen.
Amen and good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. My name is John. I have the privilege of being one of the pastors here at VRBC, and I am super excited. In fact, I was trying to take a couple of deep breaths. My heart rate is up. I'm just so excited. I'll try to speak slowly. I'm excited to be with you this morning to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, the central event in all of human history. And I'm so honored to be able to share a few thoughts with you from the passage from Luke 24 that Caleb just read. Before we start, I just want to say I am so glad that each and every one of you are here with us this morning. Some of you are here for the very first time. Maybe you were invited by a friend or a neighbor. I'm so glad you came. For some of you, it's part of your Easter tradition to be here every Easter Sunday morning, and I'm so glad you're here. For some of you, you're here every single week, and I'm grateful that you came this morning as well, and I'm super excited that everyone's here. It's not an accident that you're here. It's not an accident you're here. I believe that God brought you here for a specific purpose, and he has something he wants to say to you and to me through his word this morning. And what we're talking about this morning is the most important thing that we could ever talk about. And it literally has the power to change your life. Not because of the words that I say, but because of the power behind it. I know that's a bold statement, but I believe it because it's changed my life. And it's changing my life, and I believe it can change yours as well. So as we start, will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity to worship you, the exalted, risen Savior this morning. As we open your word together this morning, would your Holy Spirit speak to us? Would your word find good soil in our hearts where it can grow? And would you help us to take hold of the resurrection life? In Christ's name we pray, amen. I think one of the most frustrating experiences in life is losing something. Don't you hate it when you lose stuff? Like, for example, has anybody here ever lost your keys? Be honest, who's lost your keys before? Some of you are lying, by the way. Most of us. I asked that question in our sermon meeting this past Monday with several staff members, and I noticed that Micah, where's Micah? Is he in here? Maybe he slept out. Here's Micah. He got kind of a sheepish look on his face. He gave me permission to say this. Got kind of a sheepish look on his face, and I said, "Micah, what's up?" And he said, "My kids and I took an Uber to church yesterday." But he's not the only one, is he? We've all done it, right? And you know how this goes. I mean, you're 100% certain, 100% certain you put the keys in the key drawer last night, you get up, and they're not there. They have completely vanished, vaporized, disappeared from the face of the earth. It's not just keys, though. I was thinking about students. Students, tell me if you relate to this. You did your homework the night before, you put it in your backpack, it was right there, and you get up to go to school the next morning, and it's disappeared. You been there? I heard a testimony back here. Good. And the only thing that makes sense in the whole world, the only reasonable logical explanation is that thieves broke into your house last night, walked past the TV, walked past the phones, the electronics, the jewelry, because what they really wanted was a chemistry lab report, right? You've been there? We've all been there. It is frustrating, isn't it? So frustrating. I've lost a fair amount of stuff over the years, but I think the worst story is the one my brother-in-law tells. When he first got married, he took his wedding ring off, bad move, set it down in his apartment, turned around, and it was gone. For weeks, they searched and searched and searched and never found it. It's terrible, right? Now, you know that feeling. It's so frustrating. It's so disappointing. But it's not just rings or keys or homework assignments. It's really the circumstances of our lives, too. See if any of you can relate to some of these examples. Maybe you, at one point in your life, felt really optimistic about life. You said, my best days are ahead of me. The good is still ahead. But then somehow it seems like you turned around and you just can't find it anymore, that optimism. Or how about this one? Your marriage was thriving. It was filled with joy. You were so excited just to be together. But then a couple of years go by and it just seems like you can't find it. You're searching and you're looking, but it's gone. Or maybe this, there was a time when you had a great group of friends. You felt like you were living your life in community, but maybe somebody moved or maybe a circumstance happened and changed, and all of a sudden you just have lost that sense of community. Any of that sound familiar for anybody? It does for me. And I think it even goes deeper than that. We lose stuff, we lose circumstances, but I think there's a sense in which really this is a core part of who we are, this feeling of searching for something and not being able to find it. We try not to think about it too often, but I think sometimes in quiet moments, we get the sense, this nagging sense that something's missing. Like, I remember something beautiful, something meaningful, something transcendent, but it's not here anymore, and I just can't find it. One of my favorite bands of all time is the band U2. I don't know if there are any other U2 fans out there. Do you know what U2's second most popular song on Spotify is right now? Can you guess? This is participatory. You can say it back. You know what it is? Still haven't found what I'm looking for. Thank you, Steve. Exactly. Man, powerful song. In the verses, Bono talks about all the different places he's been searching, trying to find what it is that he's looking for. But in the chorus, he just repeats that haunting line over and over again. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Now, that song is super popular, and I think the reason that it's super popular is because it taps into something. It taps into part of the universal human experience. We know what that feels like, to search and to not be able to find something. So the question for today is, why can't we find what we're looking for? Why is it that we spend so much time looking and searching, but we just can't seem to find it? Well, in this morning's text, we find some women who are having the exact same experience. The passage that Caleb read from Luke 24 occurs on Sunday morning after Jesus has been crucified on Friday afternoon. And if you read the end of Luke chapter 23, that right before our passage, it says that these women who were followers of Jesus, they'd been following Jesus throughout his ministry. Here's what happens. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee, followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Now, that's really important. Don't forget that. They saw the tomb with their own eyes, and they saw how Jesus' body was laid in it. But because the Sabbath starts on Friday evening at sundown, and they weren't allowed to do any work on the Sabbath, they didn't have time to properly anoint his body with perfumes and spices, as was their custom. So they went home, observed the Sabbath, and then at their first next opportunity, which was early Sunday morning, our passage begins. Luke 24, verse 1 says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. Remember, they had just been at the tomb on Friday night, and they had seen Jesus' body. Luke continues, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. There it is. There's that feeling we're talking about. They're saying, he was here. I'm 100% certain he was here. I saw him with my own eyes, and now he's gone. Now, put yourself in the shoes of the women for a moment and think just how frustrating this would be, how disorienting it must be. I mean, they were already distraught to begin with, right? They had been following Jesus, the one they loved so much, the one who had changed their life, the one that they thought was going to restore Israel's kingdom, and then they watched him be tortured and crucified. They watched him be buried. And now, adding insult to injury, they can't find his body. So frustrating. In verse 4, it gets even weirder. It says that two angels suddenly appeared, and they were wearing clothes that gleamed like lightning, and the women, of course, were terrified, just like you and I would be in that situation. And the angels asked the women a very important question. They asked them a question that's going to literally change the way they see everything, not just their current situation, but the whole world. And I want to camp out on this question this morning. This is going to be the heart of our sermon because it's going to help us answer that question, why can't we find what we're looking for? The question the angels ask in verse 5 is, why do you look for the living among the dead? That is a powerful, powerful question. It helps us answer our question of why we can't find what we're looking for, and there are two reasons. Two reasons. The first reason we can't find what we're looking for is we're looking for the wrong thing. The angels asked the women why they were looking for the living among the dead, and the obvious answer is because we're not looking for the living. We're looking for the body of our dead friend. They weren't looking for a risen Savior. And when you're looking for the wrong thing, it's really hard to find what you're looking for. Earlier in the year, last summer, Joanna and I were at an event together, and we were talking, and she said, "Oh, hey, look, there's so-and-so," and she pointed across the room, and she said the name of an old friend I hadn't seen in a long time. And I said, "Oh, cool, where?" And I looked and couldn't find him, and I said, "Where is he? I don't see him." And she said, "John, he's right there," and she pointed again, and I looked and got kind of frustrated, and I said, "I don't see him. All I see is that gray-headed guy with the big beard," and she goes, "That's him." I was like, mind blown, because last time I saw this guy, a couple of years ago, he was clean-shaven and had dark brown hair. And I realized that I'd been looking at him the whole time. The whole time, I was just looking for the wrong thing. And when you're looking for the wrong thing, it's really hard to find what you're looking for. And that's the first problem that the women have. They're looking for a dead body, but Jesus isn't dead. He's been gloriously raised to new life. Look at what the angels say next. They say, "He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." I find this so interesting. The angels are reminding the women, hey, Jesus told you that this was going to happen. Jesus predicted what was going to happen. And in fact, several of these predictions that Jesus makes are recorded in this very same book, the Gospel of Luke. I'll just read one of them to you. If you go back a few chapters to Luke 18, Jesus says to his disciples, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him." And here it is. "They will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." Jesus told his disciples, he told his followers, this is going to happen. So the question is, why were they still looking for a dead body? Why were they bringing spices to the tomb? Why weren't they getting ready to throw a parade for the resurrected Jesus? Well, Luke actually gives us the answer to that question in the very next verse after this. Verse 34 of Luke 18 says, "The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they didn't know what he was talking about." Jesus told them that he was going to be killed and rise again, but they didn't understand. And now, before you are too hard on Jesus' followers and think, "Well, if I was there, I would have believed he was raised," put yourself in their shoes for just a minute. I mean, let's be honest. Jesus said a lot of really unusual things, didn't he? He was always talking in metaphors. He was saying stuff, talking about like camels going through the eyes of a needle. He's talking about like plucking out your eye and throwing it away. I mean, we're not supposed to take these things literally, right? And so this prediction of death and resurrection just seemed so unlikely to his followers. In my mind, I think they just figured this is like one more of those long list of interesting things that Jesus says that we don't understand. I think they figured he was speaking metaphorically. I mean, he didn't really mean he would like literally die and literally be raised to life. He probably just means he'll face some opposition and then overcome it. But then he literally died. And this is important. So on Sunday morning, no one expected Jesus to be alive. Have you thought about that? No one expected Jesus to be alive. Not the women, not the 12 disciples, no one. They weren't expecting the miracle, and so when it happened, they missed it at first. They were looking for the wrong thing, so they missed what was right in front of them. And friends, the same thing is so often true of us. So often, we don't find what we're looking for because we're looking for the wrong thing. We're looking to put spices and perfume on a dead body when Jesus wants to give us resurrection life. It's so easy to get discouraged in life and to just settle for less than what God has for us. I mean, let's be honest. We're in church. We got to be honest, right? Life is disappointing sometimes. And when you get disappointed, one of the self-protection mechanisms we use is to ratchet down our expectations so that we won't be disappointed again. Sometimes we can do that with our faith, too. I mean, we hear the words of Jesus from the Bible, and we hear it, but we kind of put it in the category of nice sentiment, nice idea. Like, yeah, it'd be nice if people really actually loved each other like Jesus talked about. I mean, yeah, sure, it'd be really nice if we could really live without worry and without anxiety and without fear. I mean, it's a nice idea that we could actually change and learn to naturally do what's good and right. I mean, it's a nice idea that this broken relationship could actually be healed. It's a nice idea that we could overcome this addiction, but come on. We live in the real world, right? Those things don't literally happen. They're nice thoughts, but they're just metaphors. They're not really possible, are they? And because we don't really believe those things are possible, we look for the wrong thing. We look for a poor substitute. We satisfy ourselves with something so much less than what Jesus has for us. We've shared this quote with you before from C.S. Lewis. It's a great one. He says, "We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he can't imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." I love that quote. Lewis is saying that because we can't imagine, we can't really fully conceptualize this amazing life that God offers, we just settle for something less. And we're like kids making mud pies in a slum because we don't really truly believe we could be experiencing that resurrection life in God's kingdom. But friends, all that stuff that Jesus talks about, deep and healthy relationships, freedom from regret and shame, freedom from addiction, a life of peace and confidence instead of anxiety and worry and fear, hope in the middle of hard times, friends, those things aren't metaphors. They are literally, actually possible and available in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. So let's not settle for less. Let's stop looking for the wrong things. Part of the reason we can't find what we're looking for is we're looking for the wrong thing, but the other part is we're looking in the wrong place. We're not finding what we're looking for because we're not looking in the right place. Have you ever had this experience before? You lose something, say your wallet. Let's say you're 100% certain that you put your wallet on your bedside table last night, but you get up in the morning and it's not there. So what do? You search the house, you spend 30 minutes just turning the whole house upside down, but you can't find it. So frustrating. You finally give up. Later in the day, you get in the car to go somewhere and you open the center console and you're like, oh yeah, when I went to the gym yesterday, I put the wallet in the center console, forgot to bring it in. You've been there, right? Now, why couldn't you find it? Had the wallet moved? Had the wallet run away from you? No, the wallet was there the whole time. You were just looking in the wrong place. You're turning the house upside down while the wallet is just sitting there in the car waiting to be found. And this may be a little odd, but in my mind, your wallet is quietly singing Taylor Swift songs to itself. Can you guess what Taylor Swift song it's singing to itself? We actually have it queued up just to make the sermon fun. Here it is. Your wallet is singing, what you've been looking for has been right here the whole time. You're welcome, students. You're welcome. This was the second half of the women's problem. They were looking in the wrong place. Look back at the angel's question again. They say, why do you look for the living among the dead? Because they were looking for the wrong thing, a dead body, they looked in the wrong place, a cemetery. But the angels tell the women, look, Jesus isn't dead. He's alive. So you shouldn't be looking for him in a cemetery. You should be looking for him out in the world. He is on the move. And this is another trap that you and I can fall into. When we look for the wrong thing, we end up looking in the wrong place. If we don't truly believe that that resurrection life is actually literally available to us, if we don't really believe that he's the source of joy and peace and love and fulfillment and forgiveness, then we end up looking for what we need in all the wrong places. What we need is life, but we're looking for it in a cemetery. And friends, it's not going to work. And the angel's question is still relevant for us today. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why are you trying to find meaning and purpose and joy and fulfillment in the graveyard of our culture? It's not there. You're not going to find those things there. It's like looking for a living person in a casket. You won't find it. The women looked for Jesus' body in the tomb, but the angel said, he's not here. He's not here. And friend, I just want to tell you, what you're looking for is not found in the places where the culture tells you to look. It's not there. You're not going to find it. What you're looking for is not going to be found in money. It's not going to be found in achievement. It's not going to be found in a promotion at work. You won't find it in romance. You won't find it in adventure. You won't find it in sexual fulfillment. You won't find it in sports or shopping or hobbies or any of the places that the culture tells you to look. That's the wrong place. Hear the words of the angels. He's not here. He is risen, friends. He is risen, and what you're looking for is not found in the dead ways of this world, friends. What you're looking for is in our risen Savior, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of what you're looking for. He is the source of what you need. He is where you can find fulfillment. He is where you literally can find freedom from worry and anxiety and fear. He is where you can find healing in your relationships. He is where you can find meaning and forgiveness and purpose and fulfillment and joy and eternal life. Jesus is alive, friends. He's alive, and everything you're looking for can be found in him. We can't find what we're looking for because we're looking for the wrong things and we're looking in the wrong place. So the question then is, how can we find what we're looking for? How can we look for the right thing in the right place? Well, the passage gives us the answer to that question too. After the angels tell the women that Jesus isn't here, they say, remember how he told you that he would be killed, and that on the third day he'd be raised again. And look what happens in verse 8. I love this. Look at verse 8. Then they remembered his words. This is the answer to our question, how we can find what we're looking for, friends. Remember Jesus' words. The way we find what we're looking for is to remember what Jesus said about himself, what he said about his kingdom, to remember that what he said about forgiveness and the new life that he made possible. Remember Jesus' words. This is what happened to the women. When the angel reminded them of what Jesus said, they remembered. And that Greek word that's translated remembered in the English text is an interesting word. It's not a passive kind of remembering. It's an active kind of remembering. It means to call to mind, to meditate on, to think about, to reflect on. And that's just what the women did. They reflected on what Jesus did. They played it and said, they played it back in their mind. And as they did, all of a sudden, everything clicked. All of a sudden, they realized he actually meant it. He actually meant that he would be killed and rise again. And unbelievably, it's happened. We've seen it with our own eyes. The world has changed. Everything is different. And friends, that's the kind of epiphany that we need. That's the kind of epiphany that I've been praying this week would happen in this moment in our service right now, that we would hear the words of the gospel this morning, and as we hear them, that the Holy Spirit would open our eyes, that we would begin to see Jesus risen. Our lives would suddenly snap into focus, and we would realize that what we've been looking for our entire life can be found in Jesus and in his words. Friends, Easter isn't just a nice story. It's the greatest news that the world has ever heard, and it actually happened. It's true. And the fact that Jesus raised from the dead is confirmation that everything else he said was true as well. It's confirmation that we can find everything we've ever needed in him. Toward the end of this chapter, Luke 24, the women report back to the other followers of Jesus what they've experienced, what they've seen, and they're together talking about all the crazy events of the day. They're trying to make sense of it all, and all of a sudden, Jesus is standing next to them. It's like the opposite of when you lose something. Do you notice that? When you lose something, you see it, and you turn around, and then it disappears. But in this case, they didn't see Jesus, and all of a sudden, he appears. He was with them. And as you read the rest of the chapter, it's so beautiful. It says that he explained everything to them. He took them through the Old Testament scriptures and explained how every part of the Old Testament pointed to him. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard that sermon? And then he tells them, you guys are going to get to be the witnesses to this. You're going to be the ones to share the good news throughout the world. Here's what amazes me about this part of the story. The disciples were looking for Jesus, but he came and found them. Isn't that beautiful? That is the beauty of the gospel, friends. Jesus isn't hard to find. In fact, he's looking for you right now. He's reaching out to you right now. He's inviting you right now to experience the resurrection life that is available in him. At the beginning of the sermon, I told you about my brother-in-law losing his wedding ring. I'll tell you the rest of the story now. They looked and looked and looked, and they never could find it. Months went by, a year or two went by, and they ended up moving to a different apartment. Several more years went by, and they moved to another apartment. And one day, several years later, they were moving some furniture around, and as they moved the recliner, the ring rolled out onto the floor. Years later, two apartments later, and suddenly, there it was. I wonder if that's anybody's story today. I wonder if there was a time when you were looking for something and you searched and you searched and you looked, and you just couldn't find it. And so you tried to make the best of it, and eventually you said, I guess it's gone. And then maybe somebody invited you to be here this morning, and you didn't really have any great expectations. I mean, it's Easter, this is what we do. We go to church, then we go to brunch. But then maybe something during the service struck you in a way you weren't expecting. Maybe as we read scripture, maybe as you heard the music, maybe through the sermon, and all of a sudden it's like, there's the ring. It's just rolled out onto the floor. All of a sudden, Jesus is standing here next to you. If that's you, friends, I want to say, don't miss the moment. Don't miss the moment. Jesus is here. He loves you. He is reaching out to you. He is inviting you to experience true life, resurrection life, beyond your wildest dreams. Remember Jesus' words. I also have a feeling that there are people here today, myself included, who know Jesus, who have experienced that resurrection life, but it's so easy to get distracted, isn't it? It's so easy to start looking for the wrong things in the wrong places and to settle for a poor substitute and to miss out on the resurrection life, the resurrection power that Jesus makes available. If that's you today, I want to invite you also to remember Jesus' words, to remember what he said, and to stop looking for the living among the dead, but to find your true joy in Jesus. I want to lead us in a moment of prayer as we reflect on these words. Will you bow with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this amazing, amazing news. That you are risen from the dead and everything is new. Everything has changed. I pray for each person in the room this morning, I pray that we would be like my brother-in-law and sister-in-law who all of a sudden just see the ring roll out onto the floor. We'd be like the disciples when all of a sudden we see you standing there with us, and I pray that we would respond. For those in the room who are searching, Jesus, and it's so painful and so hard, for those who are searching, help them to see that what they're truly searching for is here now, today, available in you. And for all of us, teach us to stop looking for the living among the dead, but to find our life, find our joy, find our peace, find our hope in you. We love you. We praise you. We submit to you. We bow before you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.